Welcome to Champion Center Podcast. We believe that by continued listening, you can grow relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Listen in now on this worship experience already in progress.
We are going to be having a lot of fun today. If you can't tell, we're changing things up a bit. And you know, every pastor is different, and we are so blessed to have a pastor whose mission statement is to locate and communicate wisdom. Growing up here at the church, I've had the privilege of getting to sit in settings with our team where we've just got to hear Pastor Kevin open up and hear his heart on different life subjects. And we thought, how cool would it be if our church family got to experience something like this as well? So our team asked PK how he would feel about doing a Q&A, and he said yes. So today, church, we get to ask PK almost anything. And here's this how this is going to work today. Over the past week, we have invited people to send in their questions via social media, and the response we saw was awesome. I mean, we had questions come in about life and leadership and marriage and politics and the Bible, and today he is going to be answering those questions. I also have an amazing group of people behind me that are going to be helping me ask PK questions. And also, to top it all off, you can send in your questions live. And this is how you do it. Go to Pastor Kevin's Instagram and submit your questions there. We'll be receiving them during our service today. Or you can text 97,000 and submit your question there. Are you guys ready? Are you guys ready? We're gonna have some fun today. Pastor, are you ready?
I'm ready.
He's ready. You can have a seat.
I am ready. I wanna wish everybody a happy new year. Welcome to 2019, ready or not. We are here. It is 2019. That's unbelievable.
So exciting.
I want to also shout out to these guys who are up here. I think this would be fun to have this actually every week when I preach, like in case the faces aren't good out here, I just turn over here and get some love.
So, like a little amen corner.
Yeah, a little amen
just like,
corner.
Preach over it. Here. Love it. Well, here's how we're going to start today. I'm going to get us warmed up. We're going to take a jog around the block, so to speak, with some just fun, just rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
Okay, let's go.
Okay, so here we go. Cats or dogs?
What?
Cats or dogs?
Man, you're not kidding on rapid fire. Are you ready? Ask me again.
First question. Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
That's what I'm talking about. That's my pasta. Favorite coffee drink?
Grande non-fat latte with cocoa powder and a Splenda.
There you go, people. Write that down. Favorite season of the year?
Definitely summertime.
Summertime. I feel ya. Favorite sports team?
Seahawks.
Come on. Favorite thing about Pastor Sheila? And I know there's like a million, but you gotta pick one.
One thing, energy. Love that girl's energy.
She lights up a room, that's for sure.
Yeah. I tell her all the time, thank you for not being one of those sluggish people. Like, I need your energy. Let me feed off your energy. Brings energy.
She's like at a 10, ready to
way
go
up here.
All the time. So, Pastor, it's 2019, and a lot of people at the beginning of the year tend to set out goals and aspirations of what they want to see this year. So, what does goal setting for the year look like for you personally?
Okay, mine is really simple. There's some more sophisticated ones that probably people use, but I started way, way back there with a little system that I use, and it basically it comes in three categories. So I use my like my iPhone, and I start somewhere toward the end of the year looking at the next year, and I use three categories, and it's the personal category, the family category, and the ministry category. So the personal category would be something like, I want to deepen my relationship with God this year, or it could be I want to get stronger physically, I want to change my workout routine, I want to lose weight, that's a personal category. Family category is what it is, it's about my marriage, it's about being a better dad, it's about being a better papa to my grandsons, spending more time doing something with them. Ministry could be everything about the church, but could also be the things that I do. Like right now, I am I have another book releasing in February 2020. And so, thank you. The manuscript is due on May 1. So I think I have 114 days right now. So that would be under like ministry. So I have three categories and that's how I do it. What was really fun is that last night my daughter, Jody, sent me my 8-year-old grandson, Kyan, did his goals. And they were in three categories. But they weren't my categories, but he did them in three categories. They were. See if I can remember. They were school was a category, spiritual was a category, and sports was a category. So that's how I do
the three S's.
Goals.
Yeah, raising them right. Love that. Well, you've been in ministry for over 30 years. You've been married for 40 years.
I was 4 years old.
So my question is this: what is it, PK, that keeps you strong under pressure?
So, two things. Basically, you're asking that question. I'm just going to tell everybody because you heard me talk about this in a staff Q&A that we did, and somebody on the team asked me a question. But I answer this question now more often than I'm getting older, in ministry settings and with other pastors and so forth. So I'm pretty quick and certain of my answer. I just want to clarify to everybody that these two things to me. I've thought about it. That's the best way I can answer how I'm still here after 30 years doing what I do and loving what I do. And that is, number one is that I embrace stress. I don't expect life to be easy. I expect my life to be hard because I want to do something and I want to make a difference and I don't want to leave things as they are. So because I think that way, I expect my life to have stress. And I find that a lot of people are trying to avoid stress, and I think that that has worked to my advantage in that I don't see stress as a bad thing. I see stress as something that if you have the right mindset about stress and you embrace it with the right attitude, that it can actually be a positive dynamic in your life. And then the second thing that goes along with it and really important is that I live my life with rhythm. So I really believe in the power of rhythm. And I think the universe is created by God to have rhythm, that the water, the ocean goes out at the same time and it comes back in every day. And everything about, there's a rhythm in life. Every season has a rhythm. So in the morning when I wake up, my alarm is the current favorite song blaring. It's a spiritual song. It'll get me up in the morning, get me going. I drank by 7 o'clock today. I had drank two of these, but I also had coffee, by the way. I drink coffee, but I drink a lot of water, a ton of water. And I eat pretty on a rhythm. I go to bed on a rhythm. I believe in the power of rhythm. I read my Bible. I pray on a rhythm. It's a rhythm style life. So I think those two things, because it's not the genes. I can tell you, my parents and my family did not get great genes. Like a lot of, I have had to work. I lost 50 pounds when I was 26 years old. I've kept it off, and I found rhythm. And I found an attitude about this life that I have chosen. Supposedly, ministry, this occupation, is in the top three most stressful occupations. And more people quit at this than almost anything else. And so, or get funky or burn out. So I think I just really, not knowing, I'm not that smart, but I think I said, I'm going to have an attitude about this, that stress is a good thing. It's kind of like if you work out with weights, your muscles get bigger. If you don't put any stress on your muscles, they stay small. So I'm going to grab the weights every day, so to speak. And I'm going to embrace the stress. And by that, I'm going to be strong for as long as I can be strong.
I love it. I love it. I love it. It's so simple, but I think it's so effective. And if
Thank
we can
you.
Embrace that, I know it's helped me a lot. We're going to go to our first panelist. With our first question.
Yes. So my name's Monique. I've been coming here for almost 19 years. My question to you, Pastor Kevin, is what is the number one lesson you've learned that you think every young adult needs to hear?
Okay, number one lesson that I think every young adult needs to hear is that I think every young adult, the best thing you could do for your life and for your future is to make a decision that this is an absolute non-negotiable truth.
Come on, good, good.
That the Bible is what we would call in theology the inerrant word of God. Like it, if, here's what happens with the human brain. If you don't believe something or you doubt something, your mind will go on a search without you knowing it's doing it. It just subconsciously searches for information that will back up your doubt. And you will find information and more information that will back up your doubts. But if you make a decision to believe something and you believe it, your mind does the same thing, is that it goes on a search to find the information and the data that will back up your belief. So it is there. The science is there. The history is there. The archaeology is there. There's so much truth that can support the authenticity of the Bible. And for generations, people who violate its principles have a difficult struggle, hard life. People who live in alignment with it have the best life possible this side of heaven. So I would want every young person to believe this without apology, even when you don't feel like you measure up. Believe that God's word is truth. And live it with the best of your ability. Buy into it with all of your heart. And even if you don't understand it, accept it as being the bottom line and the final word. The manual, it's like you get a manual for your microwave oven to operate it safely, or for your automobile to make sure that you operate it accordingly. This is the manual for life. And if you buy into that at a very young age, your life will be so much richer, so much fuller, and so much better.
That's so good. That is spot on. We are going to turn it to our second panelist for our next question.
Good morning, Pastor Kevin.
Hey there.
My name is Larry Ward, and my family and I have been attending Champion Center for about 19 years now.
You're the best.
And my question to you is that things feel really divisive right now politically. So how do you maintain being a Christian in a culture of strife?
Anybody else want to know the answer to that? Like, you want to? I don't know, honestly. I do not have all the answers, and I'm on the journey just like you are. So if I didn't qualify that yet in this conversation, please understand that I don't think I got it all figured out. I'm just gonna weigh in on some stuff though. And here's what I would say about that is that I don't know that we've ever had more of a divisive atmosphere and environment than we have right now, at least in my lifetime. And I think one of the reasons is social media. I think people get on social media and just go crazy goofy and attack and criticize and put opinions out there in a very careless way. And then that sort of thing almost gives license and permission for us to propagate hate and strife. In a way that, to me at least, is unprecedented in modern history in America. Now, having said all of that, as a Christian and being a Christian, I think the most important thing is that we would know exactly where our highest allegiance is, and that we would know that it's our responsibility to have our highest allegiance to heaven. And accept the fact that as a Christian and called of God, that our highest allegiance cannot be to a political party. Our highest allegiance cannot be even to a family history, to a race. Our highest allegiance can only be to heaven. And we become citizens of a new society, whether we are white, black, red, native, whatever we are. There are a lot of arguments and tension related with Democrat, Republican. I just think if we're going to do this right and get it right and be the light of the world, we have to transcend natural thinking and embrace heavenly thinking. Which means my highest allegiance is going to be to him. So let me say it another way, is that my highest allegiance is to principle versus to a person or a party. So if you say truth and you're a Democrat, it shouldn't matter that you're a Democrat. If you say truth, I should say amen.
Right.
Whether you say, if you say truth and you're a Republican, it shouldn't matter. I should say, be able to say amen. If you're elected to the highest office in the land, my responsibility is to pray for you. So if I'm going to stay a Christian in the environment we're in, I'm not bragging. Many of you have done this as well. I pray for our president. I pray for President Trump on a regular basis. But I also pray for President Obama. And Lord willing, I will pray for whoever is in the White House next. And if you're a real citizen of heaven, you know that Romans chapter 13 teaches us to do that. So you transcend the natural approach to life with an allegiance to a heavenly perspective. And I think that's the only way we can be the light of the world.
I love that. I love that you said being loyal to the principle and not the party or the person. So good. We're gonna switch it up and take a live question that just came in from your social media. This was the question. It's a good one. What inspired the name Champion Center for the church?
Okay. First of all, what inspired the name Champion Center is that we're all about helping people overcome. A champion is not somebody who doesn't fall down. A champion is somebody who gets back up.
Come on.
So, I love the name champion because champions never quit, they never give in, and they never stop. There's a scripture, though, that really is the premise of it from a biblical perspective, and that is the Apostle Paul talked about running our race. And he said, we all run, but then he said, I want you to run to win.
Yep.
He didn't say, in other words, he's like, I don't just want you to enter the race, I want you to run with an attitude of winning. So that's the basis of like those two dynamics, I think, went into the idea of what is the modern word that best fits that, and that would be champions, and that's where that word came from, is Champion Center.
So cool. On that note, someone asked, why do we have a multi-campus model?
Same reason Starbucks has many locations. Same reason. Really, I mean, if there was only one Starbucks and you're a Starbucks fan, you wouldn't drive downtown to get your Starbucks. But Starbucks came to you. Aren't you thankful? In Jesus' name. Praise God. They came to my neighborhood. So I began to realize that as we were on television, we're out there were people who really were like, man, I wish there was a church like this in my area. I really identify with Champion Center. It's a long ways. Maybe they came once in a while. Maybe they wish they could come more often. All of those kind of things. And I felt like God really challenged me to consider going into different communities. And you know, that's really what the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19, tells us to go into all the world with the gospel. And this is really a way of doing that. It's that we could sit back like and have kind of an attitude of like, well, the church that's alive is worth the drive, you know. Get in your car and drive 2 hours to come. But we have people that literally drive 90 minutes to church that come faithfully, by the way, and serve. And I'm so thankful for every one of those. But the reason we have that multi-site model as a vision for our future is that we want to go to the neighborhood. We want to go to the community. We want to go to as many places as we can and reach as many people as we possibly can. And thank you to everybody who supports that vision, by the way.
Yes. Taking on new territory. We have a couple of curious people. They asked this, with DuPont opening in a few weeks, where are we headed next?
I don't know. I don't know where we're headed. I can tell you a couple things that I'm really excited about DuPont opening. And one of the things that I've made a decision about in future campuses that I really didn't know when we opened Bellevue. I have no regrets that we opened Bellevue, but it took a lot longer and was a lot harder than I anticipated, and here's why. Because we did not have the small group community, we did not have the people on the ground, we did not have the team. We started like starting with nothing from scratch. And I'm glad we're there, and now we are there, and like we definitely have a presence. But from now on, my hope, unless God really speaks to me otherwise, we're going to go to places where there is already a group of people who love Champion Center and want to be a part of expanding it into their community or into a community nearer or closer to them. So I expect DuPont to start in a place of great strength. And we're looking at a couple of other locations right now that have similar sort of strength. Should I name them right now? I don't know. I'm trying to decide. Do I name them? Do I talk about it? I'm not sure. We're looking out toward Gig Harbor Peninsula area. We're looking out toward Bonnie Lake and up in toward the Auburn area. We're looking at areas where there many of you would live and drive in and come from, and you give and you're a part of a group. And we look at those dynamics and we say, hey, let's consider it. Let's pray about it. Maybe that's the next place to go. And that's what we'll continue to do. Yep. Because you know what will happen? When DuPont does well, people will drive from Olympia to yep. DuPont. And pretty soon there'll be enough people driving from Olympia, and they'll be saying, hey, how about another one in yep. Olympia? And that's kind of how we pray and hope it works out.
That's so exciting. It's like this domino effect.
Yeah.
Taking over the Northwest, people. Love it. Hey, we're going to turn it back to our panel. Panelist number 3, do you want to ask your question?
Sure, thank you. Hello, church. Pastor Kevin. So, my question is, for people, those of us who are single, not married, what would you say is the best way for us to flourish in this particular season of our lives?
I love that question. Flourish, positive question. How do we flourish? First of all, know that there's something worse than being single. In fact, let me rephrase that. There's a lot of things worse than being single. One of those things is being married to the wrong person. Like, calm down, cool your jets, embrace the place and the space where you are right now with a lot of optimism and a great attitude, and just think, you know, this is great. I get to do what I want to do when I want to do it. I don't have to worry about nobody else. And I had to worry about picking up after anybody, and the toilet seat is up or down, whichever way I like to use it. You know, just enjoy, because I think the enemy likes to tell a lot of people who are single what they're missing out on and how your life isn't really worth living until there's that other person in it. That is a lie. So if you want to flourish, like, get your attitude right about where you are. And if you're single, I would encourage you to get so involved in our church. The Apostle Paul was single and he boasted to the married people. He's like, I love being single because I can do more for God than you guys can. I got more time, I got more stuff that I can work with. Like, he kind of had that a chip on his shoulder. Like, I'm getting stuff done for heaven. It has eternal purpose. I'm hanging out in the house of God and we're building churches and we're doing. He like had that. And so I would say if you're single, and the other reason is, it may sound, you may think I'm just like, well, yeah, you're a pastor, you're going to say that. But hear me out. When you're single, you tend to look for love in all the wrong places. And so what do single people do? They go to the club. They go to the bar. They go to the party. They go to the, and then they meet up, da-da-da-da-da. And then their life goes do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And they end up in places that God didn't want them. If you hang close into the house, if you hang and you just, you serve and you give and you do and you celebrate in the house, you're going to find the right people because you're in the right place. That's how you flourish when you're single, by be in the right place. And for all of those of you who have been married, maybe you lost your loved one, your husband, your wife has died, more so even to you. Not because you're looking to get married again, but come on, have fun with us. We're here every single day and we would love to have volunteers your age hanging out with us, building the house and building the kingdom.
So good. So good.
I'm getting a little excited. Sorry.
I can tell you. Preaching. You're doing a great job. This was a parenting question that came in to all the parents out there.
Okay.
They said this: we just found out we are going to be first-time parents in 2019.
Wow.
What is your number one advice for raising your child in a godly home?
Mm. Okay. Oh, man. How many of you want to hear my answer? Like, you want to hear my answers today. You want to hear what I have to say? Some of you are like, well, depending on what you say. I reserve my right to disagree. All right. Because I think sometimes, like, when I just say it, it sounds mindless. And it sounds self-serving, and this is about to be one of those, but I could argue it intelligently from all of my experience. The number one thing, other than parenting and loving your child, nurturing, cultivating them, is to make what I call the crucial connection with the house of God.
Good.
And I know many of you don't understand what that means completely, but if you'll meditate on it and think about it. I love the fact that my grandson plays sports. I love the fact that my daughter got a college scholarship, NCAA basketball, paid her way through college. I am not against school participation, interaction, sports, education. In fact, I'm for all of that. But the number one connection that a parent can facilitate in a child's life is the connection with the local church.
Come on, yeah.
By bringing them and then helping them clear out and find their way. When things happen at church, they don't want to go back, they don't like a teacher, they don't want this, they don't want to go to a class. Parenting is about helping them process properly through all of that.
Yes. Come on.
And mature through that process to become a bona fide member of the family of God. Best thing you can do. Best thing you can do for your kids.
I'm so glad you shared that. I know for my husband and I, that's why we are where we are today. Whether we wanted to go to church or not, mom and dad were like, get your clothes on, we're going.
I could go across this audience yep. with young people. Some of them are behind you. You're one of them. Your husband is one of them. It is absolutely the number one yep. advice. And man, I just hope if anyone doesn't get it and you're a young parent that you'll really think about it and open yep. up your heart to it. Because I get a lot of phone calls and letters and emails from parents when their kids are 14 and 16, and they are connected strongly to the group at school and to something that they love out there, and they are distant and have no friendships and relationships in the family of God. And I get those emails and I get those phone calls, and I don't know how to help now because there's so much time lost. And reconnecting is harder than staying connected.
Yes.
It's a game changer. That's so good.
Man, we took a long time on that one, but I felt it, so.
Yep.
Go ahead.
So good. We're gonna go back to our panel. Our panelist number four, you wanna ask the next question?
Hi, I'm Megan. I've been at Champion Center for about 13 years. Pastor Kevin, do you and Pastor Sheila ever fight? And how do you overcome disagreements in your marriage?
We never have fights. Never have. Fights. Okay, so opposites attract, yep. and then they attack. We could not be more opposite, ladies and gentlemen. We are total opposite in just about every way. So we have a lot of... We have a lot of intense fellowship. And I wish I could say they were intelligent disagreements, but sometimes there's some fighting and some spatting. How we get through it is that we honestly don't let the day end without an I'm sorry, and we don't need to talk about it all, but I love you. Good night. And that's just based on the Bible principle, don't let the sun go down on your wrath.
Yep.
So that's a principle we live with. We're just like every other couple. We're finding our way through even new as we fit into new roles and new places and have new challenges. I heard her say to somebody the other day, you know, she just said, you know, he's got... you know, a manuscript due in April, and so I'm a, I forgot how she said it exactly, but it's kind of like I'm alone, you know, for the next couple of months or so. You know, she's like, and she told this person, she's like, so yeah, just call me, let me know, I'm up for it, because he's in the corner of the house writing a book. Anyway, you're navigating new stuff all the time. You're trying to figure things out all the time, and we're no different than anybody else. But we do no name calling. That is absolutely not a part of our life. It is a boundary we do not cross. We've never called each other or cursed at each other or degraded each other, and that is unacceptable. And I would say if you have been doing that and you want to have a healthy marriage, stop now and get help. And share it with a third party and get some counseling because you have entered a zone of danger to your relationship. Those words are, they go deep, they cut deep. So how we fight is that we fight with respect. We fight with boundaries. We fight with levels of you know, respecting each other. And I think that's how we get through it. Is that it stays that way. It stays within the boundaries of me being a man of God and her being a woman of God and us not violating one another based on what we know is right in Scripture. But we still fight. And we still say things we regret. And we still have issues we're working out.
Yeah. But here you are 40 years later, still going strong.
Yeah.
Come on.
I hope that helps somebody.
Yeah.
Okay.
this question came in, and I thought it was really great. It's this: my fiance isn't saved, but I am. What are some tips for marriage and life with a non-believer?
Fiance is not a believer, and I am. What's break up? Break up with your fiance. There you go. No, what fellowship has light with darkness? Don't be unequally yoked together. No missionary dating. Get absolute about it. I mean, at the very least, you're compromising your future, your children's future. You can't have the fullness that God has in mind for you of life and abundant life marrying an unbeliever and being married to an unbeliever. So break up. God's got something better. God's got somebody that's right for you, and that's not the right person.
So good. We're going to hear from our...
Any more that are really easy like that? No explanation, just kind of boom?
Just one-word responses.
Give me those. I like those.
We've got one more question from our panel.
Hello, my name is Desiree, and my question is... I'm sorry, I've been going here for 2 years. And my question is, how do you love again and believe in good people after being hurt?
So I don't want the hurt that I have had from one person to cause me to miss out on the joy of a future relationship that God has in mind for me. And that decision causes me to do some things when I'm hurt. So I'm going to talk mainly from the pastoral standpoint, because pastoring, you are a target. And you do deal with a whole lot of, you deal with hate, you deal with betrayal. I remember early on, a guy said to me when I was all upset about something I felt like was betrayal, he's like, well, hey, Jesus had 12 disciples and one of them betrayed him and the other one denied him. Who are you to think that's not going to happen to you? Like, get over it, you know? So that was my induction into ministry, is like that, you know, welcome to the real world. But I have been hurt, and I think, in all honesty, I know some people are not going to like this, but I remove people from my conversation. I remove people from my Rolodex. I take their name off my phone. I separate myself completely from that person. And before you say, well, that is terrible, that is horrible, let me help you understand that if you've been in a bad marriage, the best thing you can do for your next marriage is not talk about your old marriage and not continue to live in the mindset of your past husband or wife. If you've had a bad job, the best thing you can do to have a good future job is to make sure you leave your bad job behind and don't bring it into your next job. So I want to have good relationships, and I want to keep believing in good people, and I want to keep believing there are real friends. And if I don't do that, then I'm always going to live with doubt and skepticism and cynicism about the new friends and the new people God's bringing into my life. And I'm not going to love them fairly, and I'm not going to give them a chance, because I'm living in the hurt of the past relationship. And so if I think about them, I do my best to send a blessing out to them. I definitely don't downgrade, talk about, criticize. In other words, no conversation. I just eliminate it, get it out of my mind so that I can move forward on my mission and do my mission and do me and do the life God has for me in the future.
That's so powerful. So, so powerful. I know we've got to wrap up here in a few minutes, but I thought this question, we just got to ask it. It's very, very powerful. I know that I have a purpose, but I'm not sure what it is. How do I know what my purpose is?
I love that question.
Yeah.
Serve. If you don't know what, a lot of people are wondering, and you're looking for, you know, what is it God wants me to do? Here's the answer. Serve your way into your purpose. Serve your way. In other words, if you're that person going, please tell me, Pastor, God, please tell me, what do I do? I don't know if I should do this. I don't know if I should do that. Serve your way. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with all of your heart as unto the Lord, and you will bump into something that lights up your soul. You will bump into things that you go, wow. Like you feel it when you do it. And you start finding those things that are an intricate part of how God created you. So you are the way you are because of why you are, and that the why is your purpose. And the way is who you are. But if you'll just start serving in whatever way you possibly can, you will serve your way into your purpose.
That is so, so good. So good. Versus just waiting for it to happen. It's like, take a step.
Yeah, take a step. Take
Move
a step.
Forward.
Move forward.
So good. Well, hey, I have a couple more questions for you. One, everyone's really excited. It's the beginning of the new year. You're going to be starting a new series next weekend.
Yeah, I'm so excited about the new series we're going to start. And it's called Moving Back the Boundaries. Moving Back the Boundaries. And here's the deal. The world is imposing its boundaries on you and I. People are imposing their boundaries on you and I. And unfortunately, we ourselves impose boundaries on ourselves that God has not put on us. And I want to talk to you about not just moving the boundaries, but how to move the boundaries in your life, getting ready for this brand new year in the future God has for you.
So good. So that means you guys got to be there, and they got to invite a friend, right?
Invite a friend. And would you recommend Champion Center to a friend? Would you recommend? I'm asking you that because I hope you'll think about it when you leave here. If you go to a restaurant sometimes, or you're an experience, and they have your email or whatever, they'll send you. Would you recommend our restaurant to a friend? Would you? And that question is a great question, I think, for all of us, because we talk about being bringers, and we talk about, hey, we need to invite. The Bible tells us to bring people to Christ, et cetera, et cetera. But sometimes it's an easier question to digest. Is to just ask, if Champion Center has helped you, if it's helped your life, if it helped you be a better man or woman, have a better marriage, know God better, drawn you closer to God in your relationship, I mean, whatever it might be, would you recommend it to someone else? And the reason I'm asking that is because I want to see us have a whole lot of salvations and people get baptized and people come to Christ in 2019. So starting next week would be a great way to do that.
Let's do it, church. Have you guys had a good time today? I mean, I just wish we had more time. But here's the deal.
This is fun.
We're going to be doing something this week so we can continue this conversation. Yeah. And for those of you who maybe had a few more questions you want to hear PK speak on, we're doing something this week called Lunchtime with PK. I mean, who wouldn't want to have lunch with Pastor Kevin, people? It's going to be so much fun. So here's what it looks like. Is this week, Monday through Thursday, at 12 o'clock noon, people can log on your Instagram.
We're going to go live
and have a lot of fun.
Tomorrow. 12 o'clock.
So if your lunch break is at 12 o'clock, pull out your phone, get on Instagram. You can ask your questions live, and Pastor will be answering them this week.
It's
going to be a lot of fun. I got one more question before we close. Our church mission statement is Move Life Forward. And I'm curious, what does that mean to you personally?
It means taking the next step, whatever that step is. What probably bothers me, and maybe it's partly personality and partly calling of God on my life, is what bothers me more than anything is people who do nothing and settle in their life where they are, when life is meant to be lived to the fullest for as long as we're here. And it's a gift. Life is a gift from God, and what we do with it is our gift back to Him. So it just means taking that taking that next step. And that's why, you know, we call people to growth track that haven't been to growth track, because it helps you take a step towards serving and knowing and being in community, and call people to baptism. And, you know, some of you, you're a leader. There's a leader in you. You're young. Some of you are young right now, and God's call is on your life. And we have something we call Lead X, which is to help prepare young leaders. Like we were talking about campuses a while ago. We cannot go to campuses without a team, which means leaders, and we can't go without resources. And those are two things that are essential for us to actually go. And I actually don't know beyond DuPont where those leaders are. But I'm confident that God has some people he's talking to. So I say back, what's your next step? What's your step? And it may not, it could just be a different profession. It doesn't have to be ministry. What is God saying to you? And that's what Move Life Forward is really all about, is let's take the next, everybody say next step. Say it again, say next step. It's let's take the next step and let's keep taking the next step in the journey that God has for each and every one of us in our lives and in our future. But I don't want to leave here today, and I don't want to end this service today without giving somebody a chance to pray a prayer of new beginnings at the beginning of this brand new year. I don't know. I just have a sense that there are people who over the holiday and even here today, this weekend, joining us online campus, joining us here in our services, who would have the intention to say, 2019, I'm going all in, and I'm going to give my life to Christ. I'm going to commit or recommit myself to Christ. And if that's you, we want to pray a prayer with you today. And we want to pray a prayer of new beginnings that'll give you a fresh start. It's a simple prayer, but it's a life-changing prayer so that we can mark the moment, and heaven can mark the moment as your moment of what we call salvation and new beginnings. And I've asked Haley to actually lead us today in this prayer, but I want to ask every one of you, a man, a woman, a young person, whoever you are, to join us. I think there's some people, Haley, that are, this weekend is your time. This is it. It's 2019. This is the day. God's calling you. God's talking to you. And this is your day to step over the line and become a bona fide, unashamed, unapologetic Christ follower. So if that's you today, I want to invite you to pray with us.
I'd be honored to. So with every head bowed and eyes closed across all of our campuses, if we can just say this prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I ask for you. To come into my heart.
Come into my life.
Forgive me of all my sins. And be the leader and Lord of my life. I belong to you, God. And I'm God's property. And I know that today I will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, everyone said a great big amen.
Amen.
Come on, if you prayed that prayer of new beginnings, can you raise your hand up so we know who we prayed with today? Amen, amen. And can we give it up for Pastor Kevin just one more time?
I want to just say welcome to the family of God.
Yes.
We're clapping for you. We're cheering for you. And we're going to give you some directions in a few minutes if you made that decision today. But can I also finish the day by telling all of you that we love you. And on behalf of my wife, Sheila, and our team, I want to just say to our church family, how excited we are to enter into a new year together with you. I thank God for you. You mean the world to us. And today has been a lot of fun looking out at your faces and connecting with you like this. But I love you. God bless you. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for listening today. We hope that you enjoyed today's teaching. If you'd like to help support this podcast, give today and help spread messages all over the world. Download our app and select give or go to cc.church/give. Thanks and have a great week.